And welcome to Film Grok. My name is Serge Delpierre, and this week we're going to be doing it's another seminal film. It's a German film from 1999. That was a seminal year. Run, Lola, Run. Mm-hmm. To my right, I have...
John H. Ruby.
To my far left, I have...
Tim McMillan.
And why did I skip to my far left? Because to my left, we have someone new today, and it's...
Heidi Hilliker.
Hi, Heidi.
Welcome,
Hi,
Heidi.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So Heidi, tell us about your first encounter with Run, Lola, Run.
Oh, well, I think this is going to make me sound really, really young, but I was in high school when it came out.
Nice.
Sweet. Okay.
And I rented it. It wasn't showing at any theater near me because I live in rural Michigan. But
How did you hear about it?
Did someone tell you about it? You have any...
I kept pretty in touch with a lot of different films just by reading different trade magazines.
Really?
And the internet. Just always trying to reach out and find more films. And there are some more art housey places that do show foreign films, mostly like in Ann Arbor. But I was really drawn to it, because it had been getting fantastic reviews. A lot of people I know had... really, really received it well, especially of my generation. I think it was something that people responded to. Mm-hmm. And then also because I'm actually a fan of German films, so I wanted to see it because of that. And that's the story on that.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to actually interrupt this point because I'm going to do what I should have done before. Okay, our sync up point. Yeah. I'm going to get this right eventually. Okay. All right, our sync-up point is going to be basically right at the very end when the Sony Classics logo fades to black, right before the German logo comes up at the very beginning of the film. So if you can sync up to that while we keep on talking, and then we'll get ready to go. And when we do, the countdown will be 3, 2, 1, play. We'll all play, and then we'll all be in this together. So, Juan!
You know, it's just, I think it was great when you said that, and I think back when I was in high school, I thought people just... ad-libbed everything in front of on movies. I didn't know they were actually made. So the very fact that you were reading trade magazines and at that level of interest is lovely. Myself, I don't remember where I first saw it. All I know is I love science fiction. And I love timelines and any movie or television episode that has to do with that. And the very fact that Run, Lola, Run does it so incredibly well, in my opinion, is just really amazing. And what I did was that when I broke it down writing structure, this is a film I actually took the most time on it than all the other films I've done so far, because there's not only the wonderful structure of the whole movie, but there's actually little arcs for each of the timelines that goes on. And it's really phenomenally well written and made, in my opinion. And I think it's also maybe probably the most spiritual film we've done so far. Just on the level of trust that I see that she has, and that's how I define it. And I think that's what, and they don't beat it over the head. You know, it's not religious or anything like that. So I love it. I totally love it.
Actually, it's interesting. I like the film because for me, it's not a science fiction film. For me, it is actually more a spiritual, philosophical film because it posits the idea of having different choices in life, using the what I'll call the magic, basically, of narrative film, of being able to say, I put these pieces of film, of sequences together, and I create a story, and you're going to go along with it. And okay, well, maybe we just change this, and you just go with it the way it structured itself. I just think it's amazing piece of filmmaking for that reason, because it challenges that structure. Tim?
Well, I think I just saw it for the first time about 5 years ago. I read something, a good review in a magazine, and I had no word of mouth. I had nothing to go on whatsoever except for this. And I said, I'll just check it out. I rented it, just like Heidi did. And I was blown away by the fact that, for me, it was an outside-the-box film. And I love checking out foreign films just for that reason, because it lets me know how saturated I can get in the American assembly line, big studio film way of going about things. When you do foreign films, it's a whole different way of presenting. It's a whole different, rhythm, dynamic, breathing, pacing. And Run, Lola, Run, to me, was cinematic choices. Its presentation, how it presented these things, was outside the box from the norm of what you're just used to seeing. And it is expansive. It expanded, it was like, wow, that's a great way to look at it. And then also life choices, as far as what you've been saying. it makes you reflect on your own life and saying, instead of I'm a victim of my circumstance only and I react to what is bigger than me, it's just about our role in it and how we can cause things to happen and things like this. So I love film that makes you look at your own life a little differently, a little different viewpoint.
Right.
So for those things, but do it in such a cinematic, audacious, ambitious way. I was like, I like that. This is slick.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Slick. I mean, I saw it back in 99 when it came out. Mm-hmm. And of course, 99 was just a great year because you had this, you had Blair Witch Project, I mean, very seminal also. You had Fight Club, you had The Matrix, you had Three Kings, you had American Beauty. Yeah. Just a really, really great year.
It was a really time. Good time
and also, I'm sure there's other films. Oh, and if, what was that film? Wait, help me out here. Star Wars? Star Wars came out in 99? Does anyone remember Star Wars coming out in 99? You're all looking at me like I'm crazy.
I'm looking.
Oh, The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. Come on. Mm-hmm. We're all waiting for it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna
waiting.
Start.
Yeah.
Still waiting.
And
yeah.
Still waiting.
Waiting for.
Oh,
the
there
remake.
Are diehard fans that are still waiting.
Yes.
That right. Star Wars to come out officially. Yeah.
But I don't think it will.
Yeah. But it was a good film. It was a good film. So yeah. So yeah. No, and I thought it was great. I was just like, and the thing that I always like is when a film can break out of its own territory and, you know, actually make it across the pond, so to speak, and break through in the market
this
here.
This caught on big
which
here.
It did. And just, it's a testament to how good it is. Mm-hmm. And the director is, his name's Tom Tykwer. And actually, it's going to bring it back to the first film we did, which is Inglourious Basterds. Mm-hmm. Tom Tykwer is the one who did all the German language translations. And I suspect he was probably on set, probably helping out to make sure that the performances, you know, it's what they were saying, so type of thing. So, very, very good filmmaker.
Yes.
I'm interested to see this again just because even in the last 5 years, what was revolutionary for the time it came out, just being 99, compared to what is commonplace film language now of different time frames, going to video, back to film, doing, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It kind of pioneered a lot of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you have to take that into account, the context in watching this.
Even though it's over 10 years old, it still seems very modern. It could have come out today.
Yeah. Oh. Except that they don't have cell phones.
Yeah.
And they probably would have been calling each other instead of the phone booth. Besides,
that's true. That would change things.
But phone booths are so dramatic. You know,
I love
the phone booths and films. I miss that.
It's Europe.
Yeah. You can go into a phone booth and use a cell phone.
Yeah. That's right. I wanted to invite everyone listening, if they want to, go to structurenotformula.com and they can get the PDF of the breakdown of the structure if they want to, either before or after they watch the film.
Which
is
a bit involved due to what Run, Nola, Run has script-wise, right?
Yeah.
The timelines.
Sweet.
And
yeah,
the...
and it's actually 6 pages long, which is longer than anything else. So much fun.
Very good. I like the sound of that one. Okay, and on that note, all right, we're going to get started. So on 3, 2, 1, play... Ooh, looks in German.
Erlanger Förde Deutsch.
And if you look at what that was, all the different...
Porcino.
Fingers in the pie, all the different...
I guess
people
the different agencies,
money,
well, the different agencies, the funding in Germany,
in order to put this together.
And I hope the subtitles are working. Otherwise, bone up on your German very quickly.
I know a little.
Ah, there we go.
We should
it works.
Right. Cannot cease from exploration. Oh, there's the quote. Okay.
T.S. Eliot.
Mm-hmm. I am not familiar with it. After the game is before the game.
That I don't get.
I guess it's... Well, the whole beginning is kind of interesting that they set it up like as a game. I wonder how it would have been without... It's interesting that the setup here that we got is this.
Well, the quote from the cop is brilliant because he really sets it up. He says, what does he say? As soon as I find my microphone.
And I'm actually... okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the ball is round. The game is 90 minutes. Everything else is just theory.
Wow. Which yes, it's basically just sets
theory.
It up.
Theory.
Theory.
So it's just, so go ahead.
Well, I'm saying the beginning. I mean, look what he's got. He's basically saying this is all about time. You have the ticking clock. I mean,
I love the wipes. And, just a wipe between the credits.
What's the pendulum? I'm sorry. And what is that?
And also then the time stops.
It's very scary.
It is a little scary.
It's scary.
It almost looks like some sort of demon.
Yeah.
It's a demon clock. Well,
it's a demon clock.
Well, but it's a great way to set it up, you know. I mean, it's like I like Tim Burton movies. I think like the best parts of them are always the title sequences, which are amazing. Then everything after that, I'm like,
anticlimactic.
Oh, please! But here he's basically set it up, and we're going into a clock.
Nice sound effects with that opening up.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is all like not the story, so it's presentational. And then we have this thing where he basically sets up what the rules are for this game, so to speak.
Right.
And it's interesting that Tiekfer basically set up as a game.
Yeah. I love the voiceover.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, the music in this film is amazing, too.
That was huge when this came out.
Yeah.
Oh, the fact that the music had on. I remember that.
Yep,
oh,
it was really,
I listened to it for it forever. Yeah.
Yep. It was right in the middle of this type of music kind of becoming so popular, too.
Oh, yeah, right. The techno rage.
Well, actually, what they did is they took Underworld and basically cut the film to Underworld as a temp track. And then they took that out and did it. What?
Oh, nothing. I'm just subtitles and then listening to people talk. I'm trying to multitask.
Yeah. You're going to have a lot to do on this film. Okay. But I think the soundtrack's great. I've listened to it endlessly. In fact, I listened to it today to get the mood. This guy is awesome. So it's interesting. They've basically taken this character and these characters and abstracted them from the storyline, from the or what we accept as the narrative fiction.
Nice shot. I like how the people.
I mean, this is brilliant.
This. Yeah.
Looking like a microscopic slide.
Lola runs.
Of cells.
Yeah. Which basically.
Then we go to animation.
And of course, in what was it, Hannibal? Ridley Scott did the same kind of thing for the titles and had the birds landing and doing different things, but I think this came first. And then you have this animation.
It's fantastic.
This is great.
All the choices. Again, just these choices. And it's an adrenaline junkie's dream, this film.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have one down second.
Nope.
No, because basically you have 10 minutes to get done.
But when you do, actually there's some, but when you do have that down second, it is incredible character stuff. Even with the father and the mistress and then having, I mean, it's just, you get thrown into this thing that you actually feel concerned for people and oh my God, their lives are so changed.
I hope so.
And yeah, it's just,
otherwise it's just superficial technique.
Yeah. Right.
So but be connected to people. That's
but that's the brilliant thing is it makes you care. Even from the beginning, I mean, I already care what happened. You know, he's like, he cares. About, he said it. He sets it up. I care about people. You know, we care about what happens. And then, and then everything here, we see her danger. Oh, this is all brilliant, too.
Now, what else has this director done? Anything?
I don't know in terms of German films. In terms of Western films, American films, he did Perfume, which didn't really have.
It's not very similar to this in any kind of way, but I do actually
like
that movie.
I've never seen Perfume.
It's
I don't think it's for everyone's taste, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't say either. And it's the story that it's based on is very specific. So, you know, there's only so much, give for him to actually put his real stamp on it. But I think it's an excellent movie. I like it. It's weird.
Actually, I want to comment on what we just saw. I love the fact that they showed everyone's picture and their character name, so we know who everyone is. We don't have to
right away. Yep.
We know. And then boom, we're into it.
Yep, right in. You love them.
It's like
you're invested.
Great shot.
Yep.
Just zoom. Yeah.
Great choices. That's what it is. It's a lot of just great choices, inspired choices for presentations.
And of course,
everything, the color, the fashion of it, it's so relevant to that time. It's just hip.
And we start off on crisis. We start off, you're ratcheted to 10.
Exactly. And then it goes up higher. And the interesting thing is that if you notice, going back to color, her hair is red, so that kind of dominates that scene. Mm-hmm. And then we have
phone booth is that bright yellow.
The phone booth is the yellow. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of, we spend time in each different environment. And now she's explaining, but they can use a flashback.
I mean, the flashbacks are black and white,
and also a little bit jumpy, like a sound. Mm-hmm. Well, like a silent film, basically.
Been, yeah,
it's in PAL.
Right, it's PAL speed up, sir.
It's a PAL speed, not this PAL speed up.
Now, don't be worried, listeners.
This is NTSC.
If you're into the different formats.
And what's great about this, I mean, you get the relationship right away, how entwined they are.
I thought this actor did a good job.
And
And
it's incredible because this is the he tells and shows us the inciting incident of the money being gone, and it happens usually around 10 minutes, but it happens at 7:30, and the titles took about 4 minutes, so they do it incredibly
fast. Like I say,
fast.
It's right from the get go,
right to the point,
and.
But it makes it seem urgent.
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah. And in the fact that he's telling it on a total desperation.
Absolutely streamlined. The fat has been so completely stripped away. You're in it immediately.
And it's total exposition, really. It's one person telling another person. Mm-hmm. But it's believable because he's stressed out and he says he's going to die. So
It's the most dramatic exposition. You're hanging on every word.
Yeah.
And we're going, basically he's giving all the setup as to how all these problems started. And I think in the second and third go through, we don't have to see any of this anymore. So we're just going through it again.
Right. Oh yeah, right. This, the inciting incident and what this movie's about, the first 15 minutes is the first 15 minutes of every other timeline. So
right.
we don't have
this
to do
our
that.
Blueprint.
Which is exactly.
This is right. how everything links together for the rest of the film.
The
look at this cutting. It's like, what is it?
But it's going, it's like six times, and he's going back, basically going over the point of what the problem was.
That was Jerry Bruckheimer coverage
yeah,
there,
yeah.
when she was on the phone. It was like eight different setups, so to do one thing, three seconds.
Tim, I think you're gonna have to leave. I'm sorry.
No, you know, I'm That's just saying, right. as far as setups, Jerry Bruckheimer's knocks
well, okay,
out, man.
All right.
You got 40 setups but for then, someone to put their glass of water on the table at a Jerry Bruckheimer film.
Yeah, but it doesn't work as well in a Jerry Bruckheimer production. And here they
want the
video.
I'm not saying they're the same on that level.
The bag.
And this is in video.
And it's great. We also learn, I'm such an amateur. We know that this is his first time.
Right.
You know, all these, I mean, and this is the rule of writing an exposition. You can do exposition as long as people are stressed out and usually yelling at each other. Because then you're allowed
to
do that.
Because
or you're yelling at yourself. I'm such a fucking idiot. This is my first.
I love those cut-ins.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
and they're all like postcards.
Yeah.
And then it goes with the music. This is a brilliant setup.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So this is
brilliant.
185, right, Serge?
Look at this headbutt.
185 aspect ratio.
I do like what you pointed out, though, about how he does say about being an amateur right away, because it makes you even care about him more because you think, oh, he's not a bad person.
Yes.
He's just trying to get by. Yeah. And it sucks you into it a little bit. We would detach more.
And if you notice it, he went to go help the guy up off the ground, the bum off the ground.
Right.
Oh, and that's when he left the bag. And so that's where
he's a good guy. That's
the save the cat moment.
Yeah,
there's a decency there.
Right.
Yes, he's a good person. He's just in a bad situation, and it makes sense to you why she loves him so much that she would do this.
Right.
Oh, she has 20 minutes. Okay.
Well, and here's the thing. The hypothesis statement is, I knew you wouldn't come up with any idea. I always said someday you wouldn't know what to do, not when you die sooner. You always said love can do anything. So he's saying that to her. It's not going to work.
And
so now the question for the rest of the movie is, can she figure it out and can she make it work?
But it resolves the question of can love work? Because ultimately, what do they do in between the different parts?
I love that.
That's interesting.
And that sets up the scream.
So it definitely sets up the scream.
That's definitely a setup.
But what it sets her up also as, and look at everything here, is it sets her up as basically very primal.
Yeah.
She's the one connected to nature. She's the one connected to the earth.
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, when this particular episode ends tragically, it's basically her connection to that, her love for him, that allows essentially the universe, in a way, through the story, to reset.
Line up?
So, well, to reset and to get another shot. Because she's got that connection.
Because she has that connection, because she has that love. That's... that brings it all back to the spirituality we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely. She totally loves him. I mean, even for, I mean, this life that they live.
Right.
Yeah. And regarding movie wise, at 11 minutes, Manny says the crime boss will kill me. So that's actually 6 minutes in, because it's about 5 minutes of titles. And then Lois says I'll get the money, and Manny says, you know, I'll rob the bank if you're not here in 20 minutes. So we got two ticking clocks. Already established within,
and also the phone,
you know,
call
less
ends.
Than 10 minutes of film time.
Oh,
we know what the movie's all about.
Let me explain this in Europe.
It's
actually,
really phenomenal.
In Europe, what they had is in phones, you essentially could buy a card and buy time on a phone, and you put it in there, and that way you can make your call. And then if the money runs out, then your call ends. So now, how much we've set up with 10 minutes? And
20,
now,
we're
10 minutes.
Yeah, and so, usually at 15 minute mark, you know what the movie's about.
At 10 minutes, we know what the movie is, and now we know she has 20 minutes, and in the next 20 minutes, we essentially have. With a film. The first time I'm seeing this, I'm like, this film's going to end in 20 minutes? What?
This thing is made up of nothing but stylistic choices.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just watching
But
this.
For no reason. It's not for no reason. It's not just filler. Like, I'm sure every single thing has a purpose. If you were to talk to the director.
Right. Well, look at this. This is all the people she's thinking of. Yep. This is brilliant representation of that.
And all they did here is they took a dolly track and they went around and basically, I don't know what they sped it. It looks basically rotoscoped. Not a rotoscope, animated. So they basically moved the track and had her stay there. It's a very interesting effect. and then she decides.
But that's the best episode
and this becomes
ever.
Her first decision. It's like this relates back to actually what happens in the third one. The third episode, he says, no, you're wrong choice.
Yeah.
So he's outside. It's just brilliantly presentational.
Yeah, again. Yeah. The
but it, when she goes to the casino, it echoes that pattern.
And it's a constant duality. I mean, of many things going on at the same time. Before she took off, she threw the phone up in the air.
Love this.
Yeah, going right into the TV. Yep. And you see what she's got. And the cartoon is on the TV. Well,
and what a great budgetary thing, so you don't have to film all this.
It's going down the stairs.
And you're also filling... Let's not kid ourselves. This movie's actually not 87 minutes long. It's 70 minutes long. but very well, entertaining all along the way.
Right. Like, it was a very interesting choice of going to the animation there. And it can, I mean, you can rationalize any number of different ways.
Yeah.
I like her tat.
It was great.
Yeah.
Like, don't like her tat, but I like her tat.
I love everything about her. Well, yeah. I mean, when I watched this when I was in high school, I mean, my friends and I, we wanted to dye our hair red. We wanted those paints.
Oh, totally.
We wanted to
wanted
be her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody did, you know?
Well, because she's basically the embodiment of empowered females.
She's a superhero. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hmm. I mean, she's even athletic, you know? Mm-hmm. And at this time, you know, there's so many females portrayed in film that are like sex symbols or pushovers. Yeah. But she's a hero. She's going to save him. She's going to go. She's going to run, which is so physical.
Actually, what we just saw. Yes,
I love those little timelines.
The alternative timeline. In this timeline, this is what she's going to do because she bumped into her at that moment.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and also we have to talk about Star Trek different episodes. Like in Star Trek, they did an episode where they went through this time loop, and each different time they did slightly different things. X-Files did an episode like that where. I think everyone was stuck in a loop, and there was this one woman, actress Carol Burnett's daughter, actually was able to see outside of it, and she tried to do it. So, I mean, this has been explored in a science fiction context.
Yeah.
But in popular movie making, I don't think it's ever been done philosophically like this.
No, not that I know of.
Well,
in the 5 years since I've seen this, I just forgot how exasperating this film is.
I know.
As far as pace and just what they're doing, and it.
But even look here, even her running, how they've cut together the running thing changing the pace between the slow motion.
And how did she get this gig? Can you run? Let's see how
Franco,
much
can you run? Exactly.
You can run.
And this is in this part's in video. It's interesting because it's not part of what she knows or sees. Maybe that's the rationalization, but it's we don't even know what we're looking at yet.
Yeah. This is our first breather. Where are we at in running time? How much time has gone by?
I think it's 15.
Lil starts running. Father's mistress
and
she's pregnant.
And there's the father.
Probably,
exactly.
18 minutes. So, it's probably like, three or four
the
minutes. Well,
riot.
3 minutes of running. But it's right. After that running, we're just so happy not to be running. We're part of us is.
We're in another mess, but it's in video. Look, this is in, they didn't even have HD back then.
No.
So this is just basically 480p or whatever they were shooting that 480i.
So standard def.
I didn't really realize that.
Way standard.
But
maybe even mini DV.
It almost takes that scene though and makes it be like, this is more real. You know, it's video. This is more real. And then now we're back into the fantasy, the story, the myth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anytime you have that. Standard video, shaky camera. That is, this is through your eyes. You're a fly on the wall.
Reality,
it's the more.
What's great is that she's not all gymmed out. You know, she's not all buff. It looks like she overworked herself at the gym.
Yeah,
she looks like she can handle what she's doing.
Oh, totally.
She
for sure. She definitely has an athletic build.
Yeah. I love the nuns.
And you know why she doesn't get a bike here? Because otherwise, it would have been. Bike Lola Bike.
And a whole different movie if it had been Saunter Lola
Well,
Saunter.
And you see what happens is when he did that, then we see his future and he gets married.
Isn't that nuts? He gets beaten up and married.
I love it how you just size a person up their whole life
in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And those are the most important things. The beaten up, the getting married, everything else.
Yeah. That was a nice shot, actually, going, dolling in on her as she ran past.
Yeah.
And once again, on a tiny little bridge, which makes the peripheral even better because it's whipping by you.
Now watch this. That guy was in video, and then this was film.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting, the choices.
Animation, video, film.
And now it's the whole thing in terms of context. Now he's back in film.
And, you know, it's
interesting choice. And now he's back in video because now it's his story.
Yeah, it's
his
perspective.
Hers.
Yeah. Because I think almost when it's video, it's almost like that's what's really happening.
Mm. Or the individual people.
Or the individual people. Yeah. Or it's not her story, not her timeline.
Right, yeah.
Either way, it sets it apart. I like the pinwheel or whatever it is. Yeah. We're rotating back there.
Eye candy.
Yep. Well, it's basically it's time. Like, it's like time.
Right, and it keeps that pressure.
It's also sucking you in. Time is just being sucked in.
And actually, I think the word spiral is next to it, which is, I guess, a spiral.
And of course, they're setting up everything. They set up the bike person. he was giving her the card. Is that what he did?
He gave her the phone card. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she left it with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I like the significance of what someone blind being involved in this means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As something to digest.
Yeah. Well, because blind people are supposed to be able to
see. There's the homeless guy who's got the money.
Yeah.
And he didn't cut to him. That's interesting. Well, I think that we do in a later one.
Yeah.
That's cinema verite, right? When you have the camera. That was from the 60s. That was very the French New Wave.
I guess when you're going handheld for everything, I guess. Or the idea is being you're like a fly you're a fly on the wall.
Yeah, that's what I mean by the fly on the wall.
Well, I think this was more the trend back in the late 90s, like, oh, we could do things on video, which was basically the whole thing of Blair Witch. Like, oh yeah. We got a handy cam, we got a little palm cord and we can shoot something. I think it was kind of going off of that style. Because everyone kind of wanted to do that too. Because I think also, what was love? What was the guy in Sweden who did that? Oh, I'm blanking. You know what I'm talking about? No. Back in the late 90s.
Who
was his company's Zentropa? He did Zentropa. Totally blanking. You know who I'm talking
about.
It's not Lasse Hallström. It's the other guy. Lars von Trier. Lars von Trier.
Okay.
And it's amazing how much we've forgotten about. I've forgotten about this already. Whatever was like the it was like a manifesto to make films very, very simply.
Hmm.
Oh wow. Oh no.
Horrible. Tragic.
Runs it to her, and that's what happens to her. Yeah. But it
you
was
saw something tragic in that. Were we watching the same thing?
I don't want to be the one getting run into. Yeah. I think.
That's right. She hits everyone.
I'll step aside for Lola.
Oh, that's right. She didn't touch the bike guy, and so he was doing okay. That's very interesting. Yeah. Let's watch that. So maybe that's if she touched them in this bad timeline.
I wonder her boyfriend is such a mess.
So that's it.
She has this effect on people
in the bad timeline. Maybe if she touches them on the way to do this, something bad happens, but in the good timeline, which is number three, if she touches them, something good happens.
Let's see.
We'll have to watch.
Yeah, let's pay attention for this.
So just say on timeline number one, Lola enters the new, enters the bank, and this is when it comes up with the father.
Right.
And this is the new world, and then, of course, things get worse.
And I have not seen this actress since.
She's in the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was in Bourne Identity.
I have seen this actress.
The first one. Yes, you have. Yeah. She also was on The Shield. She had several character arc.
She didn't have red hair.
No, that's probably why I didn't recognize her.
She didn't keep her red hair for every other project she ever did after that? Oh, silly, silly actress.
She did another film, actually, with Tikva after this.
She did The
Princess and the Warrior,
which I think actually is before this.
Oh, really?
I've never seen it, but I have a friend that constantly, a friend that's a huge fan of this film, who always tries to get me to see that film.
It's a good, getting to the end is kind of weird, but then at the end you go like, oh, okay. It kind of makes it come together. It doesn't fit so well together as this, but it's quite interesting.
I'll have to check it out. Yes.
This actress's name is
Franca Potenta.
Franca Potenta.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not saying it with the German accent properly.
Franca.
Franca Potenta, maybe.
And they also fit in some nice exposition there. It's like Manny, and he goes, who's Manny? And he goes, my boyfriend for over a year, which is totally okay to be yelling at your parent if they're not aware that they're, you know, they're not aware of your life. But otherwise, you're just not allowed to say, oh, my boyfriend Manny of over a year is in trouble.
Right. That's too much. Spoon fed to the audience.
But if you're yelling at someone that they should know it already, then it's totally...
kills two birds with one stone.
Yeah, totally.
Correct.
Yeah. Totally acceptable.
Okay. That'll work.
And I love this, that he just lays all this on her.
Oh, he's...
I hate you. You're a weirdo. You're not my kid. I'm leaving you and your mother. It's fantastic. I mean, what... I mean, if you can't not feel for Lola after this. Everyone's got to go, oh...
I love dolly shots through tight little hallways.
But I think this isn't shocking for her. I think it is in a way, but I mean, even if you look at their home, the way that her room is, it almost looks like maybe she's in a dilapidated part of town until she runs out of her room and you realize she's in a really nice place.
Right.
And that her father has money, and obviously there's always been a distance between them.
Yeah. Oh, no. But it just makes me feel for her.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, the Von Trier thing was called Dogma 95, with basically the idea for Dogma 95 was that basically you get rid of all the accoutrements of filmmaking, you know, and it's as stripped down and as bare as possible. None of the fancy crap that gets in the way of making the film. Mm. And that's where a lot of the – it's like he made, I think, was Dancer in the Dark was on video.
Was he the one that did that Nicole Kidman
– Yes, yes.
Dog Town or what was it called?
Yeah.
Dogville, isn't that? Yeah, that is fantastic. That is.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Oh, you have to check it out. Is it? I love the idea of bringing theater and film together, and I think that's a great example of someone really doing that. I don't think a lot of directors really give that a shot.
So it was very outside the conventional set way of films in America. I mean, was it very?
Oh, you haven't seen it either.
No, I've
known about Dogville, and then there was a sequel that was Mandalay.
I never saw the sequel,
which
but...
she was supposed to do, and said Bryce Dallas Howard did it.
Right.
And I think there was supposed to be a third, or I don't remember.
I would definitely recommend checking it out. It's. I don't want to give too much away, and I don't want to get too off topic, but it's wonderful filmmaking.
Right.
So this is basically this first timeline,
right.
This is the 60-minute mark where the father not only says no money, but he's worse than we thought and lays out all that stuff on her.
Oh, wow.
And so now she's, you know, still got to try and make it.
I love when you're doing it. This is exactly how you do a chase, basically running scene, where basically you shoot through something as you're going laterally.
Foreground.
And it definitely gives you that, I don't know what kind of effect.
Visual speed.
Pixelating effect. Yeah. It gives you perspective, so you know she's running past things.
Yeah, there's awesome. Columns there. And the overhead shot is
great
nice.
Great shot. Yeah.
How much second work running did she do for this film?
See, it says spiral. Right
yes,
there.
It does.
I guess it's a place. It's a very grungy place.
And it's nice to see, too, that he's still trying to get the money other places, and it's not working.
He didn't just give up.
Yeah, which is just good for us to continue to like him as a character.
Yep. Right. And then
did anyone see Phone Booth?
I didn't want to at all.
This whole thing with him in the phone booth here and the pressures, and he's got to do something by a certain amount of time, right? Wasn't that pretty much in Phone Booth as well?
No, it's basically guy gets... Well, you can explain it.
It's... I don't really want to explain it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, a phone booth is involved, and there is pressure.
But other than that,
okay. It has no similarity to this.
Okay, we just had the gag about not breaking the plate glass, which is, of course, is a classic cinematic.
Look at that bright
cliche.
Red again.
Oh, yeah.
And yellow.
Well, because in silent movies, that was a big thing, you know, avoiding the plate glass, making sure the glass does not break. Yeah.
Again, if you notice, the story is approaching red and yellow again. I don't know if there's a reason why that those two colors constantly are brought up.
Well, the yellow gives us a good geography for there, and the red hooks. See, she's running by red. Well, that's because she's red, and also once again,
and he's yellow. Maybe I don't know because look, everything in there is yellow.
He's blonde. Yeah.
It's very interesting. A lot of yellow and red in this film.
Well, it could have been Germany at that time too.
Well, but I think,
the crew goes, dudes, that's just the way we shot.
Yeah, exactly. I know. That's
let them read whatever they want into it.
Right. Well, I think the choices are actually when she ran across the street to the bank, actually everything was blue there. So I think there's definitely art direction choices.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a way to give the shorthand, this is where you are, and B, use it for emotional effect. And definitely her having dyed red hair, not red hair, but it's clearly, it's clearly not even her roots are showing.
Rebellious red.
Oh, totally rebellious red. As in badass red. you know.
I mean, this movie's so stylized. I have to think that most of the choices are intentional.
Oh, with what the director's been doing.
Except for the turtle that just happened to be walking across her floor at the time. That was a weird... They were actually looking for a lizard. And they're like, hey, look, a turtle.
Now, this is great. Basically, they were able to show both of them. I mean, she's running, and he's waiting to make his decision, and then the clock right at the bottom.
No, nice.
And then you see...
I love the cross.
Ways. That's awesome.
This is kind of 24-ish before 24.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They could have stolen that from this or inspired.
Well,
I love that.
I
mean, they have a wipe, everything in and there then is the yellow doors and red. Are going the opposite way of what the wipe just did.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
Man. And so he's doing it. The only thing he knows to do.
Yellow counters in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was an artistic choice.
Yep. Even the carts are yellow and red.
Oh, here we. Well, you know, we're
look.
A lot
look
of
at all the packaging. There's red on the. There's the yellow the sign on the background.
Yeah.
There's another film actually that it's a Dutch film called The Fourth Man by Paul Verhoeven, that uses red a lot, very symbolically. Red bag. Nice.
Red car, yellow balconies.
And by doing that, she kills him.
Yeah.
He basically lays it on her.
Well, no, it's true. He said he gave her a timeline.
Well, he did give her a timeline, but the thing is, he said you were too late. And the thing is, he was doing what he could, but the thing is that she's the... Essentially, in the language of this, she's the primal force, and she got there. The primal force got there too late.
Right. She's saying, "I could have saved you," but
she still tries to solve it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Just to remind us, she doesn't know how to use a gun.
Yeah. That's also a setup for the safety switch because she'll use that later, which is really cool.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's because there's a bleed through timelines, which I've never seen before.
Movie.
This is very well thought through.
Well, they had to just keep going back and forth with the script, saying how can we link all these things together. It was just phenomenal.
And she does a fantastic job. And so what a great sound music cue.
So really quick, bad guy's worse than we thought, which is usually in the middle of the film. The father says, no, I hate you. I'm kicking you out of the house, whatever. Then she shows up. Manny's in trouble. Then you always get help from the outside. So she got the bag from the lady that knocked out, the guard with the money. So we got that. And so now we're approaching the end of second act. Moment, which is things are really bad.
Oh, and a second act in this,
of this timeline, right? This is the cop thing.
And actually, going back to what the music, I love the music because it gives it a sense of like
it's incongruous too.
The whole thing is this particular episode is hinted at like a genre of movie making. It kind of goes back to basically to two youths gone wrong trying to make good, but they can't.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very refreshing.
And the music essentially calls back to that. So I'm wondering in the other parts, because I don't remember necessarily if they change.
And this is fantastic. Ooh, the first time I saw that, I was like, holy jeez.
This is like when Cordelia got killed in The Wish. It's from a Buffy episode.
It's very similar.
Cordelia. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, Jazz.
Nice ears.
Oh, nice look on that guy.
Yeah.
Great look on his face.
Well, and I like that, too, because it's that feeling that he didn't intend for this to happen.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Show it with a look. You don't have to say a thing.
And this whole episode is all kind of nobody meant for anything to happen.
Right.
He didn't mean to shoot her. They didn't mean to get in this predicament. Right.
So circumstance does not reflect intention.
Right. But that's all there is it's just circumstance and just the guy's still like, what did I just do?
Mm-hmm. And choices made off of that, of the circumstance.
And I love that you get to the end of this feeling it's actually not an easy feeling, but it's that feeling of we have no control. We're just pawns. Everything happens to us. And that's when they suck you in and say, wait.
Well, exactly. Because here it's like, well, where's this going to go now?
Yeah.
And then it goes to red. And then, well.
Oh, does it go to red?
It goes to red. That's a heavy red filter we got going there. Can we reference Lost, the last episode of Lost on this?
If you wish to.
I kind of feel like this is Lost. Have you all seen it? Am I going to spoil anything for at least?
I have not.
You know what? Should we spoil everything for everyone out there?
I don't think you should.
If you haven't seen Lost by now.
No. There's people watching to start starting the series.
I haven't rented on DVD.
I haven't watched Lost.
All I can say, well, then I will be cryptic because it's still kind of close to it. But basically, this kind of reminds me of what they did with the last season of Lost with the Flash sideways.
Yeah.
In that same kind of, you know, without giving too much away,
but
it's still
got
the same feeling.
That'd be great. Good.
Well, I'm being cryptic for now. Maybe not late. I won't be so generous later in the podcast.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I don't want to know how they're Lost. I didn't watch Lost yet. I specifically have not seen. Okay, I've seen like
one
episode.
I love that. The trust. How do you know? I just know. I just do.
Yeah. Well, once again, she just, it's that, it's the being connected to what is intuition.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all we got.
Well, I also just like, well, but it's, from but, him just being a guy, I could totally see just being him.
You know, he's skeptical. It's like, what are you talking about? But she's insisting there is a thing. And it's interesting that they did embody that thing in a woman. And I think by virtue of that, they're saying something.
And her argument is so classic, too. I mean, right. If I was with someone other than Amy, my wife, wouldn't I be loving her and saying she's great? Do you know what I mean? Like, how would I even know that she did not exist? Or, yeah. And this poor guy's like, what? You're thinking a lot deeper level than.
But if she really wants to know how he feels. And he's like, well, how do I explain it?
Such a deep red filter that her hair looks normal.
Yes.
It's blonde.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it just makes everything.
And it makes his hair look dark when his hair is actually blonde.
Oh, good point.
So they're one.
And not only that, but it makes them look like they're naked.
Mm-hmm. It makes them look like they're not wearing any clothes.
It's the red. It makes clothes invisible.
I bet we can market one of those.
You put the red lens on the camera, no clothes.
I'll buy some red sunglasses next time.
I like her two earrings.
And that's great. The question is, do you want to leave? And of course, she's like, no, I don't want to die right now.
Right.
But it's also another great moment to establish that bond between them.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice breathing moment. Yeah. It's a nice, just catch your breath.
And it's almost like you can actually feel your heart slow a little, the pacing. Mm-hmm. I've been paying attention the whole film,
tension.
And I can feel it.
You've been tense, and you just feel yourself relax for a second. Your shoulders go down a little bit.
It's nice how they came back to her, and then they go back to the bag coming down, the phone.
Everything, how it relates to each other.
Or she just says stop, and she just says, I'm like, I can stop this.
And what's so great here is they don't give us any new information right off the bat, which gives me a moment to realize what's happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not like they're throwing new information. I see all the same stuff, so I don't have to really
think. It's not
too
much.
And then I'm going, oh my God, we're starting all over. And
we're doing the same thing. Yeah, exactly. That was exactly but it.
But if you notice what happens here, it's phenomenal.
Now, I don't think it changes here. I think in the
third
one.
Yeah, it does, right here.
Oh, it does change
here? The animation changes?
Oh,
yeah. Right here.
Oh, yeah, the shot's different.
And the trip.
And he trips her.
So two things going on story-wise. This is the beginning of the second act in the overall movie, because this is the new world, which means she can start over. And when you enter the new world, it's dangerous. So when Luke went to the cantina, that guy tried to say, I'm going to kill you, and Obi-Wan Kenobi had to chop off the guy's arm. So the new world is not necessarily safe. And so that gives it to you
So the trip is what says that. Wow.
Yeah. And it also says, I mean, on a story-wise, not only does she going to have the opportunity of change, but other people are going to change.
And also, affects in terms of cause and effect, because now her leg is hurting, she's going to run a little slower, and she's going to miss people,
and
not the same things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is...
Yeah, it's really...
Oh. So that means she's going to miss the lady.
Well,
no, she's going to hit her sooner. We're going to find out right now.
Yeah. So this is a mixture of the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens to the lady.
She still hit her.
Now watch this. Watch what happens. This is phenomenal.
She called her something different.
She won the lottery.
And she's rich and happy.
Okay, now, so in this one, if you get hit by her,
but on the overall story scene, that's your 45-minute mark, which is a metaphor for the ending. So that scene just told us that she's going to end up with money and be happy.
Oh, holy crap.
What?
Oh, this is John's thing.
This is my thing, man. The thing is, it's all there for us to get subconsciously if you don't know it. If you know it, then you can see it. If you don't know it, then when the ending happens, it's okay because we've been set up for it. It's phenomenal.
Interesting.
It we're really is amazing.
But are we 45 in? No. See, everything's
blue. Well, the movie's only 87 minutes, so it's not going to be...
Yeah, so we're at 45. We're like...
Oh, my God. I don't know. I got to look at my paperwork.
I love how much movement. There's not very many static shots in this movie.
Okay, we're at 37 minutes is when Lola bumps into the lady and the lady wins the lottery.
But you were saying the 45-minute act, if the second act was one whole film.
Yeah, if the movie's 120
it.
Minutes, then 45-minute mark. So this is only 87 minutes, so 37 is pretty close to 45.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Oh, wow, so here
it's just a complete reversal of fortune.
Right, because it's like everything's flipped.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sets this scenario up to be the complete opposite
which is
of
where
the first.
And this is, I mean, everyone has seen this film, so I don't think I'm spoiling anything when I say Manny dies at the end of this one.
Opposite.
Right, exactly.
But
and
he
now,
still hits
here,
this.
He still hits the car, but he hits it in the back.
Yes.
Because he was just barely delayed.
Maybe it's a little bit of an implication that the third is more of a balance. You know, you have the extreme view in the first, you have the extreme opposite in the second, and it's the balance in the third which makes it work.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, well, actually, it's like, it's my thing about Goldilocks and Three Bears.
The Porridges.
Have I ever told you about this? The Goldilocks and Three Bears stories, I think, is fascinating because it's interesting that they set up the equivalency of, in other words, the father, everything is too hard or too something. The mother, it's like it's not enough of something, and the child's values match Goldilocks' values. They're just right. It's not like her values match the mother's, who's a female just like her, or the father, the Papa Bear. It's the baby bear. It's just like right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's a good lesson to learn.
Don't singular? Trust older people.
That's right.
Is the singular? Is the plural of porridge porridges, or is it still porridge?
Porgy.
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 Porridge. And I think because she's late here, she misses
catching or something. Next time.
Oh, it's next time. Damn it.
Yeah.
There's the cop who's always nice. All the cops, everyone's nice in this film.
He's all right.
Except for the badasses.
He's trying to be funny, but yeah, he's a nice little character.
Oh, that's a Steadicam. That's a very good Steadicam.
Well, I'd say that's a tracking shot.
Oh, for sure. I don't think that's a Steadicam because someone would have to be running backwards.
Where was the track?
Yeah, we didn't see
it. No,
it
was wheels. It was just a nice
wheels.
Floor.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know there was shake to it? What it was Steadicam on a dolly.
Okay, so
that's what it was.
I think it was a Coke machine, and somebody was lying on top of the Coke machine, and the Coke machine had wheels.
What?
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
Oh, she caught them this time.
And it would be red, so it ties in to every theory.
Yes. Thank you.
Last time she didn't catch them, and so she didn't know this time...
She knows right away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And she's like, oh, man.
I wish we would have saw the future of the lady in the hallway.
Oh, I think it's on the way out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because she came a little early. The timeline was a little different. Yeah, she's early. So
yeah.
She would bump a door.
Isn't that great? Even in the midst that she's trying to save her. And that's where good writing is, too. She's there for the money. Her boyfriend's going to die in 15 minutes. But now she just found out that her father's having an affair. She's got to call him her slut. You know what I mean? The emotions overwhelm her logical mind of, I got 15 minutes to save the guy I love.
Well, so yeah, exactly. Because everything...
That's just great.
Everything's so immediate.
Yeah.
And actually... Oh, my God.
So has anyone at this table had days like these?
Well, actually, I had a conversation like this about this type of thing last night. This is... for her, and this is what all drama is like, and really here they've just compressed it so much. It's mm-hmm. like in life we usually don't have dramatic moments, moments where actually we see drama and we actually truly feel alive and actually, ooh. And what drama does, what films do, is they let us actually live these dramatic moments, which we normally never live in our lives. And what they've done essentially in this one, they've amped it up and put it all into this character and given her 20 minutes to save the world. Mm-hmm. And then essentially connected her to nature. She is like, it's like they've really condensed, it made her very big crucible of a dramatic character.
I think it was Hitchcock, and I paraphrase.
Here we go.
He yeah, said that movies are life with all the dull bits cut out.
Nice.
God, that poor lady.
Life is what? Is what?
Hitchcock said movies are life with all the dull bits cut out.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And we live with the dull bits.
Sometimes they're the best, though.
But they don't make for interesting movies.
No, they certainly do not.
So
he says it's not your day today.
Yeah, and you can't have everything, and that's the dark. This is the
and this
the
is
bad guy's worse than you thought.
This is great writing. This is great character writing because she comes up and she plays on everyone's cognitive dissonance. She just goes for his gun, and like anyone would ever expect that.
Yeah.
But the pressure.
So
yeah, she wants to control her destiny. She wants to make something of
it. Right. Whereas in the first story, she just lets it happen. Well,
and right, the first time, right, when she couldn't connect with the father, she responded by running.
Right.
And this time, she didn't get what she want, and now she's responding with the gun. Right.
Right.
I like the idea, going back to what you were saying about the Hitchcock saying life is a film with all the dull bits edited out. And when we're watching what the futures of the people she runs into or encounters, it's the same thing. It's all the dull bits hit, like cut out. It's just like the main moments of their life.
Right.
Bullet pointed.
Right.
True.
And that's where we saw that she knew where the safety was, I think.
Actually, those flashes are a little like Lost, too, in the sense that it gives us, it's like the alternative glimpse to whatever flashbacks or the flash forwards that they had on it.
Also, if you think about it, the first timeline with the father being so mean to her lets us be okay with her treating her father this way now.
Oh, right. Yeah, because we
if the father was really nice, we'd be like, what a fucking bitch. But now we're like, this is okay. The guy was going to throw her out, and she said, you're not my son. You're a weirdo.
Rationalizations, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
got some stuff going on.
So in this one, actually, she didn't. In the last one, something bad happened to her. Here, something good happened to her.
Complete opposite.
Yep.
And the last one, the dad assaulted her verbally, and this one, she's assaulting him physically.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I haven't looked at all those flash things and see how they all correlate and play together and.
He's the guy that's going to get with the girl in the hallway.
That's right.
Well, in this reality.
In this reality.
The dominatrix.
Beat me, darling. I love you.
He likes it.
That's yes, yeah.
It's a highlight of their life.
It makes them it makes them happy.
That's right. This is a great line from her. You say they always come too late. So that gives us the okay that she's doing this too. You know, she works for her father at a bank. He says every time he gets robbed, they always come too late. So she logically knows I can pull this off. You know what I mean?
Or she at least thinks she has a shot of it.
There you go. Right. So it's logical. So it's not like she's going up against a no-win situation. She thinks she...
And she only has 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think at this point, too. Right. So
What I like about this also in terms of character... Well, what I like, I mean, I think it's effective. But it definitely taps into something. If she taps into the whole... I mean, it's definitely a cinematic thing of, well, it plays on basically how films use violence, essentially the threat of violence to achieve ends, but it's cathartic in films because it's not anything, once again, getting back to the whole dramatic thing, it's not anything that usually happens in her life. But here, she actually becomes a projection of what we would want to do, not that we would ever do it. Mm-hmm. And in this way also, by having these different choices, we see that this is not really her. If there was only one version of this, we go like, I don't know. But we get that perspective.
Everyone has those choices every day.
And yes, that's what this is all about. We see
what that is. If you solve it through the violence and breaking the law, the end justifies the means, then
I like the big pictures of money on the walls. It emphasizes the whole thing. What's this movie about? Time and money. She has to get the money.
Reminds us.
Yeah.
Puts the pressure.
Well, actually, interestingly, at the bank here, all the big thing, everything in the background is the money. And we haven't seen Manny. We've hardly seen Manny here. And back in the background of Manny was the time thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like that whole thing with her and her father, there's no words. It was all just looks.
I liked that.
Well, there's nothing to say.
Yeah, the unspoken words that were happening. Yeah. It looks as he looks at her. And
I don't know. Did I miss it? Does she know that she's not his daughter? Or he didn't tell her here?
No, he didn't tell her because this one, the mistress doesn't tell her that it's not your baby. She interrupted it. She goes, I'm going to have a baby. He goes, I'll have a baby with you. And she's like, I have one more thing to tell you. And Lola barges in.
Right.
So it's very.
And notice the bag this time is not red. It's green.
It's green.
With a yellow little tie thingy.
Oh, it all comes back around. Yellow.
And just on a character level, it's just like how she feels and how her father feels. Just in terms of all that, with your dealing with
kids.
Well, just
what you gonna do?
This is great.
Well, that's it, because she doesn't want to use violence.
Well,
no.
It's also incredibly important that she did that. We'll see in a moment, but.
Well, and she doesn't want to run with it.
All right. But you're right. It shows that, right.
Just in case you don't know where this is.
Now, every time.
There's a lot of green, actually, in this segment.
Yeah. So okay, so the red was in the first segment.
Which could be passion.
That's right. They don't know it's her.
Right.
Isn't that brilliant?
That's great. But I'd forgotten all about that.
This is the 75-minute mark in the movie where it's the 75-minute mark in the second timeline where it's the hero gets a break. And it either gets help or the universe or somebody helps him out. And so it looks like she's going to get nailed, and then she got helped out there.
All the cops are recognized. In green. Even the cops are in like an olive. And now the old lady's a little late. Of course, do you have the time? Mm-hmm. Her pants are green.
All that green. Look at all that green.
And her pants are green. And then this time she ran differently across the courtyard. And now we're back to a different angle on the yellow. I wonder if they...
It would be so interesting to start to speak to the art director on this.
I'm just curious about in terms of how they made sure, because this all happened at noon, and how they had to deal with light on a production level, how they had to deal with the light to make sure...
You're not shooting late afternoon and early evening.
That's brilliant.
Yep.
Your continuity of light...
Yeah, well, exactly, because it's all taking place in that time. You see, that's late
red
afternoon.
And yellow.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And that's the
red
from the
crashes
first
into yellow.
And that was just a great gag. It's always great watching a plate of glass break.
What's up, Doc? That was the big in the car chasing at the end.
Yeah.
Going through the glass.
And you want to see it so bad the second time because you didn't get it the first time.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Red sign.
Red light.
Red sign.
Yeah.
Red car.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Yeah. I mean, I bet. Actually, they chose these colors based on
I like the arrow.
Go this way. Yeah.
No, it's like go in this direction.
That's something I didn't see the first time I saw this film.
This is what this is all about. Or partly, there's green in the background.
Yeah.
Now the awning. You know, I'm wondering if the awnings. Now we have to go back and see it again. If the awning the first time around, if they changed it,
if they had the budget to do that,
that's art direction.
I would be very impressed.
That's not budget. I mean, it's like okay, paint that red. Okay, fine. Paint green.
What was the budget on this film? Was it a low budget?
Moderately, but shooting at each location would probably have taken like 2 weeks. So basically, you know, a couple of days they shoot one set of art, and then they move things in and out.
I love the sound.
A lot of the scenes they could just shoot over and over again with the minor tweaks, you know, in some
ways. Oh, sure.
And just make the
now
changes.
It would be all digital, though. You wouldn't need to do it by hand.
Wait, I didn't hear what you just said. It's okay. I'm blocking it out. La, la, la. And here she gets there almost in time. Oh, she did get there in time.
Yep.
Only
because I love you, honey.
I love seeing two people looking at each other at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody seen Rules of Attraction?
No.
I have, but not in a while.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good film, but I liked where they did the two shots, and then he brought them together in the split screen, and they... Oh, God.
Oh, that was tough. That is tough.
Oh.
Was he run over by an ambulance?
Yes.
Yes, a red ambulance, which she delayed and broke the glass. And once again, he feels...
Yeah, I mean, everyone has regret.
Everyone feels something in this film. They are not truly mean.
Well,
it's a series of accidents.
Is it more encouraging to be run over by an ambulance than a hearse?
I think I would say so.
I think it's worse to get run over by an ambulance.
To be run over by a hearse really seals the deal, I think.
I'd rather not be run over at all.
At all, but.
And where he's positioned with that line on the ground is really nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, symbolically, the dotted line and how they've lined it up. How they could have shot that any different way.
That's tough.
Yeah, look at that.
That's a beautiful shot.
Yeah. And then here, watching the first time, it's like, damn, and now Mandy dies. So, this sucks.
So, right.
This totally sucks.
So this is actually the minute. This is actually the middle of the movie. It's 51 minutes.
We go to red.
Yeah. And... This is where the bad guy's worse than we thought, which means we thought she finally had it all figured out. She actually got the money, but now Manny dies. So now it's like, what are we going to do now?
Right. Well, once again, they talk about dying.
And she has eye makeup here that she...
Oh. You don't think she had it on before?
I think she had it on before.
Is it...
It's liner.
The lashes seem to be a little...
There's spirals on the pillow.
Oh, yeah.
The spiral, and also...
Was that there before? I didn't notice that.
Yes, it was there before. I didn't notice it either.
These shots are much closer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she saw it a little differently.
Dude, these are tighter.
I like in the first red scene, she's questioning him and his feelings about her. Now, complete opposite.
Nice.
Yes.
Yep.
He's doing it to her, exactly.
He's also thinking,
how would you feel, you know, about... And then here,
if
look,
I died.
And she's cool like he was cool before. Before she was all engaged, and now... Mm-hmm. Which actually what this is this scene took place whatever weeks or months before and they had the conversation, or maybe this is on two separate nights and obviously it's being brought back as opposed to happening in some kind of, you know, pocket universe or anything like that.
Right. Well, he's also talking about what would happen if I died, which is great that she'd remember this.
What would you do without me? Now I might be dying. As in the first one, she was, what would you do without me? I might be dying.
Right.
But then she says, you haven't died yet.
There you go.
It's not over. In her eyes, it's not over. Mm-hmm. Only here, well, this is interesting. Oh, no, she's looking at him. You see her hands.
Mm-hmm.
No, he says no. Oh, man.
There's a POV.
Oh, it was great.
Where'd that bag come from?
So, interestingly enough, he's the one who now made the choice.
They threw it up.
Oh, she dropped it. Yeah, she dropped it when. Yeah. But that we just
getting that plane to go over at the same time as the bag was very good.
And tell you the truth, it was only this time that I realized that she's having an affair. Also.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though lines were the same, I never caught it the first two timelines. But this time, he says, "You're married too."
Exactly.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my god. So
he's a Sagittarius, which I also am. Coincidence?
Oh.
Getting goosebumps.
And so here she...
Jumps over it.
Jumps over. And she screams at him.
Yeah. I love it.
So now she's... It's like somehow it's awareness. She's learned...
Yep. Well, it's awareness, and we also... Right, and...
She's learned how to do it somehow through the magic of movies, which is what this is.
Well, I think in the second story, she's hasty.
Well, it's also, that's the way how life is.
Yeah.
We have one experience. Finally, we figure out how to do things better. So then we do things differently.
But in the second one, she got tripped. That's the whole thing. There was an
ideally
external circumstance.
Yeah.
Give me some love. There you go.
And here she missed the lady. She didn't bump into her. So the lady's, she's still
so a bad attitude. And now
and
she
what happens?
Gets her act together through religion.
And so something good happens to her.
Oh, she found
because last
God.
Time
she won the lottery.
Yeah.
And now actually she
got spirit.
She got spirit, which
beautiful
is
yellow.
Which is actually she gets spirit. this one.
And this, oh, you know what? I wonder if each different, was there a train going by and was the train painted different colors?
I don't remember the train and the other two.
I remember the platform.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think she hit the same time as the train.
Okay.
I like that. I really feel like, and maybe I'm looking too into this, but I really feel like she's the red and Manny's the yellow.
Mm. Yeah. Here the shot is a little different.
I bet you there's going to be a lot of blue in this one. Blue, someone wearing blue.
Each
if time, the bag is blue.
But each time they've done this, street is blue.
The bag will give you your theory. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's subliminal colors
blue
going on
that sign, right?
Well, actually, the bag is blue.
Yeah.
Because she runs into it. The bag is blue because they get the bag back.
This time she doesn't run through the nuns.
No.
So there's sort of like a respect there.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Remember, you saw the bag on the subway?
Yes.
It's blue.
Hmm.
So we are right. And then here he stops and and it's a little side thing, so it's in video.
Mm-hmm. And it's his life, his perspective.
Yeah.
Mm, oh, fries and sausage.
sounds good. Yeah, and there's the guy.
Nice makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting because he was at the beginning of it. We've only seen him briefly, but now we get to know what's going to happen to the money. And because now it's when the money's going to come back.
And now watch passes behind. There you go.
Right, and because she hit it just right.
Yeah.
No, it's just not.
Oh, the homeless man's not there because
he's got the bike.
He's got the bike
and a blue coat.
Yep, he does have a blue coat.
Yep. And he's in video, and there's the blue bag in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Well, blue and white.
If you go just down to simple things, though, that colors stand for, you know, red stands for passion. That could be the first.
Mm-hmm.
Green can stand for envy and greed.
Yes, and blue is for...
And blue is calm.
It's Pacific.
Oh.
It is. It's pacifying.
And yellow?
Yeah.
Yellow drives you crazy.
I think.
If you stare at yellow too long, you will go crazy.
Yellow means subtitles.
Yellow means fear, I believe.
It's something like that, but it definitely incites bad feelings.
I think it stands for cowardice.
Yeah, I think
it stands for fear.
Are you yellow?
Fear.
Or it could be caution, too.
As well, which is also fear.
Yeah.
Which it does actually symbolize Manny's situation 100%.
Yeah, caution.
Mm-hmm.
So this timeline, the bad guy's worse than we thought, is that we finally got this all figured out. Okay, she's going to get the money from the father. She's got to just prevent Manny being hit by the ambulance. Everything will work out fine. But this timeline, the father leaves before she gets there. So now it's a whole new ballgame. Now it's like, now she can't even use the gun because it's not an option.
Now also, did he find out about the child?
No, Mr. Meyer came and they went for the. He found out that he had a child,
but it
wasn't his. Or he thinks it is his in this
one. All right.
Actually, in the first one or the second one, I'm not sure if he even found out that.
In the first one, she said that she was pregnant and it was his. Mm-hmm. So the second one, he didn't find out because he was interrupted. So here, I guess.
No, the first one, it's not his kid.
Oh, she told him.
Because they had more time.
Yeah. And he was so jazzed. He's like, yeah, I'll raise a kid with you. And she's like, well, it's not yours.
Got it.
Well, thank you.
Got it. It's the little details I forget.
Yeah.
And this is a film made up of details.
And strangely enough, in this one, I've hardly been paying attention to her, but it's like I'm aware that she's there.
Yep.
It's like everything else is important, but I want her to be important again. And then we get her. Now we get what we wanted, which is Lola.
So now the big question is, how is she going to respond? How do you say it? Shaisa.
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 All I know is Papa is Dad in German.
It's true.
Scheiße.
Come on, we watched Inglourious Bastards. You know, say auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right. Say auf Wiedersehen. Let's not say goodbye.
Yep.
Say auf Wiedersehen.
I love that look. He's like, oh, shit.
Nice slow zoom.
I'm sorry. Am I not allowed to say that?
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, yeah, sure. In context, if it's warranted. Oh, that's a great look.
A little heartbeat going on.
So here's the 75-minute scene that happens in the whole movie, which is you get help from the universe or from an unexpected source. And she says, wait.
And she knows. And there's the guy.
And there's that beautiful blue bag.
There it is.
It's the blue and white bag. Hey.
This is great. I was actually thinking, oh my God, he's going to get away from him. He's on a bike. But what's so wild?
He still hits the same one.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Nice sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a whole interesting thing about, like, are some things just destined to happen?
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, you can play around with those thoughts that even though things are different, but he ends up hitting the same people.
And once again, this isn't video. And they're still badasses.
Nice crane shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All of the cars that have passed her have been blue. Well, not all of them,
but they're
primarily.
They're blue or white.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Blue and white like the bag.
It's just so well thought out and executed.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is where she goes, you know, I can feel that she goes all spiritual then.
Well exactly, because she's a primal force, and now she has to look inside of her to find...
But she's not looking inside herself. She's closing her eyes and she's just letting the universe.
But that's what
guide
I mean by looking.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. She's being at peace and she's letting it come to her. While she's doing what? She's running.
Yeah. So she's doing something, but she's waiting for the end.
Because that is what does Lola do?
She runs.
Lola runs, and when Lola was running, maybe for the wrong reasons before, and now. Yeah. She's just purely running, and she was running with her eyes closed.
Oh, and the truck has blue in it there.
And she stops and she trusted the universe. It's like the Force in a way.
Yep. Oh, yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the universe and herself.
Yep.
And coming to a calm. I mean, it's a good lesson for anyone to learn when you're in a tight situation. If you let it get to you, if
just
you let the anxiety overwhelm you, you can end up in a negative situation.
Right.
If you just let your mind be clear, if you do something active and move forward, you'll come to a positive conclusion, hopefully.
And ideally, you just close your eyes and run out into traffic and see what happens is what I'm really taking away from this.
Which is always what I teach little children.
Just don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah, that's right.
She's got a blue blazer.
I remember there's some really slick camera work coming up in the casino scene. Mm-hmm. Some really nice angles.
I mean, I like how she basically, I mean, once again, she's appealing to human values. She pleads with her and she helps her out.
Yeah.
And now she's in a completely, the great thing about her in terms of her character, now she's in a completely different world.
Right. This is.
But she's trying something outside of her box, outside of her limit, you know, to see. She's got 10 minutes.
And she's going completely, she's saying,
trust.
Universe.
Yeah. Trust.
Yeah.
Now, was there any reason she went for 20?
Because
20 minutes.
It just felt
20 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, nice, Heidi. Very nice. I just figured there's no other chip down on that square, but very nice.
The roulette wheel. I remember they do a nice
they do this
close-up camera shot on the ball.
They do some nice shots.
I think it like moves with it. And I think they built another one for it, a big, huge model.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, otherwise it's a very incredible macro lens or something they use.
And And she's basically appealing to the universe to the point where she really appeals to the universe.
And you know what the odds are? It's 35-1. On like, holy jacunga.
It's Daniel Craig's brother.
She's at Casino Royale.
Hmm. Now, though, this one she was passive, and the next one she takes action,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Well, it's because she's trying her options.
Yeah.
I forget, how much does she need?
100,000.
She needs 100,000 Deutschmark.
Nice.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good. Say Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
No, that's not what we're talking
not
about.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, Boris Bastards, there's the part in the bar where he says, I say Auf Wiedersehen mm-hmm. to your Nazi balls. And that's when everything goes to hell. Yeah. So we joke about that a lot.
That's my favorite line.
It's his favorite line from the film.
It's a great film.
It is. I like how just the appeals are on a very human level. And,
yep.
and everyone just kind of acquiesces, okay, I'll let you be human. It's just across the board in
this
film.
Well, it's that good nature in people, mm-hmm. like deep yeah. down.
Yep.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a quote Anne Frank said about deep down she believes that everyone's purely good at heart.
Right. Mm. That was that's the reverse dolly zoom thing, the Hitchcock thing.
A trombone shot. There's my camera shot. The
there it is.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And of course, it's the scream.
And this is the first time.
Wow.
This is the first time that she's using it in a creative way, as opposed to just an angry way.
And it's her superpower.
That is a superpower.
That is her superpower.
And it's the first time. Yeah.
I mean, she screamed before, but we saw it at the beginning. We haven't seen it since.
But and before it was in
with
in
the father,
weakness.
And in father was anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is where she's doing it is in.
And then notice it was she did it, it was three times, and so each one of the screams, each one of, nah.
You're trying to make
where
that into something.
I was trying to. Well, it was that to us. That's a nice shot going around
and,
like that. The camera
and then
the
camera's locked on the moving part where it makes
great
like the
rig.
Table spinning around.
Great rig.
Again, an altered perspective. Yeah. This film is all about altered perspective.
Well, the point is that there were three turns and there were three parts of the film, but I don't think the how she reacted to each one necessarily correlated to the different segments.
Yeah.
Make it a blue one. Do it. And they're all looking.
We should take bets, quick.
No, but look at them. Look at them. They're all looking. They're all, by the way, very brown and in very muted tones. It's all brown and all very neutral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're all stunned and looking at her like they're witnessing. They're looking at a goddess.
Yep.
Well, what's a photograph of the person's back of their head, which I found very interesting
that
they put that there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, do you think it was just in the room and so obviously they went with it? Or?
Well, I don't know.
She is wearing blue, though.
Yeah.
With all this
art she's wearing
talk.
Blue. That's probably part of the reason why it was chosen. And look at they really feature it.
Yeah.
Well, on their way to the clock, but still, it's...
Wonderful shot. Nice tracking mm-hmm. right in on that shot. Clock.
And except then it brings you back. There's a pressure. Oh, my gosh.
And he's still chasing them.
But let me just say, writing-wise, you had the 75-minute scene and the 75-minute scene. Right, there you go, back and back to back.
Mm-hmm. So why didn't he do that before? Okay, all right.
Well, because he probably didn't want to resort to that. Again, giving
guy.
Him the kind of, decent guy. Yeah. We care about him.
You're right.
And he might not have thought about it. You know,
maybe he was running.
And you're running. You don't want to run with a gun, just like Lola didn't.
Yeah,
that's right.
Now, this, I think, is a really interesting choice.
Trust, though.
It is. Yeah, it's huge trust.
Yeah.
Trust in the good nature of people.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Trust in the good nature of people and their guns.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, because that could have gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. Have we seen any flashes in this particular episode? I don't think we have.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Which makes sense because... it makes it go faster without them. I mean, it doesn't slow down the pace at all.
That's a lot later than noon.
I mean, that's, that's like in late afternoonish, but there it's all in, it's in shade. It should be bright sun on this street, but it's always been in shade. Yes.
And you know they had to do that because they really only had one sheet of glass.
And then this, there you go. And then this,
love that choice.
This time that,
Now this is really interesting.
Who is this guy? Did we see him?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
But story-wise, when you're at the 90-minute mark, that's a dark moment, right? And then you have to make a choice, and she made the choice to scream, and she got the money, right? But then there's always the 110-minute mark in a two-hour movie where the bad guy strikes back one more time, and it all looks lost. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen with Manny, and it doesn't happen with the criminals. It happens with this guy. She saves, you know.
Well, she saves him, but once again, if she's the prime force, if she's the goddess, the superhero, and he sees that in her, and that's the thing. It's playing on the whole preternatural, spiritual thing that I detect. Yeah. I sense that you are special, and hold my hand, and she holds his hand
because
and she saves his
life.
She's
a symbol of faith, of hope, of
trust and
of trust.
Flow and all. Yep,
overcoming.
Yeah. And but she's able to bring people back from essentially close. I mean, look, he's like, oh my God, what did she just do? She held his hand and she's saved him.
Yeah.
In this world, she's like, and they're witnessing. And once you're getting back, I mean, even within when I was talking about, the dramatic moments, even within this world of drama, these are dramatic moments within this film.
Yeah.
So you're talking about all the other stuff is the dull moments. These are the true moments, like in the casino, this, where they get to witness this wonder, it's basically a miracle. Yeah. Which for me, as I was, saying about the dramatic moments, it's like seeing the true nature, you're witnessing the true nature of the universe.
Yeah,
right.
At work. Which is truly beautiful of seeing it
beautiful.
Happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's what's wonderful about this movie is because it really is about something so
much bigger.
So much bigger, but so positive.
Yes.
So positive.
And it's all hinged on just a cheap, exploitative trope of guy owes money, needs girlfriend to get it, and if not,
and look
then
where
he's going to die.
Right.
And look what they did with it. Exactly.
Yep, you take the trashiest model of a movie, the most exploitative thing you can have, guns, shoot 'em up, illegal acts. Yeah. And it takes you out of that. Even like where you first see her, everything isn't what you're not getting what you see at face value. Mm-hmm. When you first you first see her, it looks like she's in a dump. She's not in a dump. It looks like maybe she's like some drug addict or like maybe not good people, but her and Manny aren't. They're not what you see.
Again, altered perspective, perception.
And there he's delivered the money.
And they tried out the bad way of life, and it really didn't go well for them.
No.
And so now they had to do something different.
And now Ronnie, who was, definitely didn't like him, and he's like, everything is as okay as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
What color is her bag?
I don't know. Do we see it yet?
Have we seen it? We haven't even noticed. There's a blue sign with a white arrow pointing down. And everything, and she looks at him, and it's like everything is okay.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, everything's all right. I have no idea. And she's like, you have no idea what's just happened.
And he's like, you have no idea what just happened.
And she also doesn't know that he found the money.
So. But she does now after seeing him pull out of that car.
But he doesn't know, and she knows.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Did you run here?
Did you run here?
Nope, it is not blue.
It's a gold bag.
Oh,
yeah.
Gold. That's interesting.
I'm going to have to think about that one. Oh, it's yellow. Ooh, never mind.
What's in the bag?
Yeah.
Well, Manny.
That's so much fun.
But it's a new, it's actually a new
alter
opportunity for them, a new life, what's in the bag. The potential for their future.
Right, the credits, too. I didn't even notice that
yes,
before.
Yes, the credits top and bottom altered from what you usually see.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe the guy just got it wrong. What are you doing, man? You go the other way.
Oh, too late now. We'll just...
We don't have no... You pay me 2 more hours of work. I switch it around.
This is a trip.
That's not quite a German accent, but...
yeah, I know. Exactly. My accents are all meld together.
That was true. Oh, yeah, practice. I'm going to send you some tapes.
I'm trying to
decide what I thought that was in my mind.
I have one accent. It's just...
Kudos to the movie after all this time. It's refreshing.
This thing really is.
It's 11 years old and it still kicks ass.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's badass.
It is fantastic. You know, I never really thought about it too much before, but it really is such a fable. It really, you know, like when we come back to talking even about like the Goldilocks, it really has a setup of a fable. Mm-hmm. There's a moral in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a myth or a fable. I would definitely categorize it as that.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. We're talking about the other Tiekfer film. The other Tiekfer film plays with the whole idea of fables. So I think it's obviously something Tiekfer
likes.
I don't want to see Perfume. I just don't.
It doesn't. But the thing is Perfume's based off of a book.
Yeah.
So it's not his thing. He didn't write it. So that's why I'm saying it doesn't really kind of fall in. I mean, it's visually stunning and it's weird.
Right.
But it doesn't. You know. I mean, it's based off of someone else's idea.
Actually, I'm curious. I haven't looked at it. I really was so entranced with this film. I didn't bother looking up on the intertubes about what other Tiekfer's other films have been recently. But this has been 11 years, and other than doing.
Well, did you see The International? He did that. But I didn't see that.
That's right.
I meant to see it. I just never did.
I got to put it down my list. Actually, it was supposed to. Yeah, it was like Zen was another one. Was it good?
Yeah,
that was Tiekfer. Yep. Okay, so he has made
other films. Oh, yeah, he's made other films. And did you ever see Père Jutem?
Père Jutem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did a segment in that. And actually, the one he did in that is a lot about like love and faith. It's the one where Natalie Portman is the actress and she's dating the blind guy.
Oh.
Which, again, is interesting because he really features that blind woman in here. And in that story, a blind person is featured. Mm. I don't know. If I thought about it a little bit more, I might come up with a good theory about that. But
like John Woo and his doves, you have to have it in every movie.
Well, in all the Roman and Greek mythology, there's a lot of seers that were always blind that could see this.
And that's also even in King Lear, I think at the end, I think he winds up blind. Wandering blind than Dionysus.
Oh, that's Oedipus.
I don't remember. No, Lear's crazy. I have no idea. Someone gets his eyes gouged out in Lear. That's right. I think it's not Edmund. Edgar gets his.
And that also happens in Rapunzel.
It does happen in Rapunzel.
But the eyes. But she cries and the tears go in his eyes and they
heal him.
They heal him.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That does happen in Rapunzel.
Rapunzel's eyes get. Poked
No.
The prince's eyes get poked out by thorns.
Yeah, falls out of the window.
Pushed out of the window by the evil witch, and his eyes are bludgeoned out by thorns. And
well,
then
if you want the
he
most
wanders.
Gore, you go back to the original fairy tales.
Absolutely.
They're fantastic, too.
Yeah, the three little bears, they had guns. You didn't know that in the original version. You got the watered down version.
Yeah, I'm giving you the stink eye right now. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I think do we all love it?
I'll say I.
So, wow.
Sehr gut.
I'm just.
Where are the sequels? Skip, Lola, Skip.
Oh, nice. See, I don't want to see what
sachet,
happens.
Lola,
I want to see
sachet.
What happens next.
I don't need to know what happens next.
I don't want
to.
The first version was actually Stitch, Lola, Stitch. It was all about knitting.
Yeah.
But it just, there wasn't the action.
And what are they saying? I'm not
knit
listening
faster.
To you.
Knit
the
faster.
Crafty one. Decoupage, Lola. Decoupage.
Wow.
I'm sure that's a real nail biter.
Yeah, you're gonna have to try harder on those. This is great. It's a great film.
It's a great film.
And John, it all fell within the when you analyze this, everything worked out quite
well. That was what was so much fun for me because when I heard we were gonna do that, I was like, oh, I really wonder if each segment, and holds with the structure of a story, and what's amazing is, as we said briefly at the beginning, the first part is the same for all three segments, and then they each have the bigger arc, and then there's an arc inside of them. It's really great to see. I mean, really, it's so much fun for me to watch a movie with really great writing. to really, that's fantastic. This was, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Just going back, it's great the debate was able to break out. I mean, I think it's a credit to the fact that it was so good it was able to break out of the German market and make it over here and help with, you know, obviously with Tiekfer's career.
Speaking of which, how big was it in Germany compared to here? Does anyone know? Was it on fire in Germany? Because it was huge here.
I didn't do the research, but I'm pretty sure it was a huge success there. Been very, very big.
Yeah.
For anything to come here from any other foreign country to break this market, it has to be really big in that country.
I see.
There's so many films we don't get because of that. You know, I mean, you have to go hunting for them. So, and I just really like the spiritual aspects of the whole thing. Well, it's philosophical. I got to decide whether it's spiritual or philosophical.
I think it's both.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking to people who aren't spiritual, you say philosophical.
Right.
Interesting. Because I wouldn't, I don't know.
It plays to every audience.
Yeah. Any last words, anybody? Thoughts? Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us for yet another Film Grok. Once again, this has been Serge Dalpierre.
John H. Ruby.
Tim McMillan.
And
Heidi Hilliker.
See you next time.